Well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31. So, for the most part, family visitation 2024 is over. There are some visits yet this week. Most of us have had our visit. So this is the last of the sermons in that passages from the Proverbs. And we're going to read the whole verses 10 to 31 about the Proverbs 31 woman, but our focus for the preaching of the word is just going to be verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So verse 10 in Proverbs 31 opens up and asks, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So there's a little bit in Proverbs 31. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It speaks to all of us, even a passage like this directed, as it were, to the girls and to the women in the covenant community is also important for the boys and for the men to see as well. So use this ministry of your word to teach us, to humble us, and to counsel us in the way of godly wisdom and womanhood. Do it, we pray, as you know is best for our church, for our families, and for the girls and women in our midst as well, that our congregation might be well served by their love and by their work and by their service. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, congregation, what comes to mind when you think of the Proverbs 31 woman? She's a bit like Lori Greiner, Ree Drummond, Candace Owens, and Elizabeth Elliot, sort of all rolled into one. Some women find her intimidating. Others see her as an unattainable ideal. And still others see her as a pious portrait of sorts. I believe that the best way to view the Proverbs 31 woman is to see her as something of a composite picture. So she's not any one single woman. No one single woman can or will be everything that she is presented to us as. But she's sort of the all-inclusive, all-around best of what a godly woman would look like. Maybe if I can use an illustration, if you know what a photo mosaic is, then you might have a glimpse of what the Proverbs 31 woman is. So a photomosaic is a picture. If you look at it from the distance, for example, it would be a picture of Darth Vader's helmet. And then as you got closer to that picture, you see that the big picture of Darth Vader's helmet is actually made up of hundreds of little pictures of Darth Vader. She's something like that, a composite picture. You see this godly woman, and yet there's all of these different specifics that fill her out for us. So she's less like Wonder Woman and less like Elastigirl, and she's more like a top 10 list of characteristics of a wise, skilled, busy, godly gal. And as such, here's the key. The Proverbs 31 woman, she's not there to intimidate anybody. She's not there as some sort of a pie in the sky, unrealistic goal or standard. But she's there to inspire. She's there to encourage. She's there to be an example for all of the women and girls in the covenant community to aspire after, to follow up on, and to seek by God's grace in some fashion to emulate the things that she is and the things that she does. So let's keep some of that in mind as we look at verse 30, which is kind of a summary of verses 10 to 29. And we'll do so with the following theme and points. If you see it in the insert, a short summary tells us about wisdom and biblical womanhood. So as such, let's note two things. First, the beginning of verse 30, where it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, teaches us that outward appearances lack substance. And then the last part of verse 30, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, show us that the fear of the Lord is what really matters. So, as things open up and we see that outward appearances lack substance, let me say a couple of things by way of a brief overview. So when it says charm is deceitful, that's a pithy but a pregnant statement, because there really is a lot in those few words. Charm is deceitful. And when it says beauty is vain, likewise, we have another line that is short and to the point. But even that beauty is vain is intriguing in its own right. And there's a lot there to sort out. So those two phrases at the beginning of verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, they're essentially parallel to each other, but each one has its own kind of nuance and distinctive. And with both of them, the stage is set as things come to us right out of the gate. So with that first phrase, charm is deceitful. The word that's translated as charm there is the Hebrew word that is more typically translated either as favor or as grace. But here, the translation is charm because it refers to something that's an outward display, that's attractive, and that's pleasing. But the connotation here is negative because this charm is described as deceitful. So it refers to something external that hides something that's internal. So it's something that's false, it's something that disappoints, and it's something that doesn't deliver on what it appears to promise. Maybe, if I can use an illustration, I don't mean for this to be crude or anything. It's actually the better illustration of the two that I figured. Think of a female serial killer who's dressed up like a hospice nurse. She has the outward appearance of one who is coming to do good, but her motives on the inside are nefarious and evil. It's something like that. So maybe connections in our culture would be a worldly, high-profile celebrity who's spoiled. Maybe a sexy pop star who's just a brat. Maybe a fashionable Hollywood elite who's stuck up and super proud of themselves. And then at the other end of the spectrum, even you'd have maybe a female rising star politician who's outspoken and brash, and yet her policies are just ruinous and all over the map. People like that are all sizzle and no substance. They have the looks and they have the flair, but they lack wisdom. By contrast, a godly Christian woman or a godly Christian girl, she's to be just the opposite of the kind of women I just described. A godly Christian woman or a Christian girl is to have an outward appearance that's genuine. And the outward appearance that you see reflects an inner spiritual grace that God has blessed her to have. So with a godly Christian woman or girl, if I can say it like this, what you see is in fact what you get. A girl or a woman who's sincere, who's honest, who's upright, she's humble, and she has true faith. She's polite. She's kind. She's gracious. She's peaceful in her behavior. That's who she is on the outside, because by God's grace, that's who she's been made to be on the inside. She's a woman who is far more precious than jewels, like I said all the way back in verse 10. And so I would put it to all of the girls in the congregation, to all of the women who are here tonight, aim to be a godly gal like the one I just described, in contrast to a woman whose charm is deceitful. Turn away from the temptations of that kind of worldly superficiality and pursue the Lord and the pathway He has that is faithful and true. And along the way, of course, ladies, look to Christ for your salvation each and every day according to that promise of the gospel, and look to Him for renewing grace that you might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, for persevering grace to stay the course and to turn away from temptations that arise, and to look to Jesus for faithful guidance unto a life that is a display of real and true wisdom. With that second phrase at the beginning of verse 30, beauty is vain. The word for beauty here, it's used elsewhere in Scripture to describe anything from a tree to a king or to the city of Zion itself. So the word is good, but when beauty is joined with that word vain, which is that word hevel from Ecclesiastes fame, where it's translated as vanity there, even though the beauty it describes can be a good thing, it's cast in a negative light when it's joined to that word vain. So let me say this, and please hear me, especially the girls. The beauty, the strength, the elegance, and the vibrancy of youth that you have, girls, that's not going to last forever. Smooth skin eventually gives way to wrinkles. Shiny hair becomes gray and thin over time. Eyes that used to be bright become dull as the years pass on. Fit bodies get flabby, and gravity takes effect and pulls everything down. And it's those realities and others like them that we all know are true about life that should serve as a reminder for all of the girls and for all of the women who are here tonight that these words are true. Beauty is vain. Now, that doesn't mean beauty's bad. That doesn't mean beauty is a negative thing. But it simply means beauty is, it's a superficial category. It's temporary, and it doesn't last forever in this life. But here's the key. If a person trusts in that, or if a person tries to find their self-worth in physical beauty or an outward appearance, that will be a dead end, and it will be a constant source of frustration and disappointment for a woman all throughout the course of her life, and increasingly so as she ages. But the temptation to do that is very real, isn't it? I mean, I feel that temptation, and I'm a guy. And on top of that, the current cultural climate that we all live in, it says looks are most important. I mean, just think. Think of the world that our girls are growing up in and that our ladies live in. Online beauty tips are readily available by influencers. There's an endless array of products to care for your skin and your hair and everything else. There's a whole industry built on fashion and accessorizing and pulling together outfits in just the right way. Social media influencers, they peddle skincare cream, they give beauty tips, they offer style points, and they do all of those things in an effort to promote a way of looking your best on the outside. Their concern isn't about a woman looking her best on the inside. And all of those things that I just mentioned, from a worldly point of view, they aim at the heart in order to steal someone's life and take them captive to this horizontal vanity, which is an endless black rabbit hole. So let me close the first point by saying this. I'm going to pivot just a bit from what I said. What I said was true, but I want to emphasize this as well. Of course, Christian girls and Christian women can look nice. Of course, Christian women and Christian girls can be pretty. Christian women and Christian girls can enjoy fashion. But when those things are true, they need to have a different focus for Christian women and Christian girls than they do for the women and the girls in the world. And the remedy for keeping that kind of a perspective and keeping things within the proper boundaries that God has established is found in the Word itself, not just when it tells us that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but over in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3, 4, and 5. To summarize it there, Peter tells the women in the church, outward beauty isn't the focus, but inward grace is what really matters. Peter talks there about a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. That's what it means to be a woman of true faith. And if there is that accompanying beauty and fashion on the outside, that's okay too, because that's not the focus for a woman whose heart has been touched by God's grace. So ladies, be a woman of true faith. Go all out in that role that God has for you in this connection and show yourself to be a display of God's wisdom that has been given to you. And do all of that according to the standards that God reveals to you in His Word, according to the glory and praise of His name that you desire, and in service to Jesus Christ as your living Lord. So as we continue, let's note not just that outward appearances lack substance, but even more so, that the fear of the Lord is what really matters. That's how verse 30 ends. So again, a couple of things up front. If you remember from earlier on in this series where I defined the fear of the Lord, I don't remember exactly what I said, but this is what I'll say now. It corresponds to whatever I may have said previously. But the fear of the Lord is reverence for the Lord. It's regard for the Lord. It's faith in the Lord. It's trust in the Lord. It's love to the Lord. And it's reliance upon the Lord. All of those things and anything else like it is what it means to have the fear of the Lord. So it doesn't mean cowering before the Lord in terms of being afraid of Him. And like it says here at the end of verse 30, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. In other words, she has, by virtue of her fear of God, she has a praiseworthy glory about her because of that. And as such, she's a blessing to her husband, she's a blessing to her children, she's a blessing to her church, and she's a blessing to her community, and she's a blessing to everyone else that she comes into contact with, wherever that might be, and however that might be. So the emphasis of verse 30 at the end, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, is seen when we note that it's in contrast to those other two phrases, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Now, if you look at your ESV, it supplies that word but. That highlights the contrast for us as English readers. It's not there, it's supplied for us. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It supplies that word to show us the contrast that's being drawn. Because what it's saying is this. Women in the covenant community and girls in the covenant community are called to be and should be different from girls and women who are in the world, or from girls and women who don't care anything about what it means or looks like to fear the Lord. So let me slow down for a minute. And I want to be very clear and very direct. Girls, make it your intention to cultivate a fear of the Lord. And all of the women who are here tonight, make it your priority, ladies, to cultivate a fear of the Lord. Do that by way of meditation on the calling God has for you, and do that by way of devotion in terms of thinking through God's Word in a very practical and spiritual way. Think through what the fear of the Lord looks like to your life, and what the fear of the Lord looks like for your life. Maybe you ask how you do that. Well, I would say there's a few ways to do it. As I mentioned already, think on God's Word, but think on His promises in particular. Think on the warnings that Scripture offers as well. Listen to correction that God's Word provides. And then in the spirit of Proverbs 31, even in a real life sense, find someone, a mother or a mother figure or a grandmother figure, someone that you know is the genuine article as a woman who fears the Lord, and see her as exemplary or someone to pattern your own life after and to follow in the footsteps of. Because the goal in all of this, cultivating a fear of the Lord, is to seek genuinely and intentionally to have your worldview as a girl or a woman molded and shaped by what God's Word and Holy Spirit has to say. So you ask the Lord in prayer to give you a tender heart. Ask the Lord in prayer to give you a humble spirit. Ask the Lord in prayer to give you hands that are ready and willing to serve other people. Ask the Lord to lead you and guide you so that you might be a blessing to those who are all around you. So if you're a girl, I'll say it like this. Strive to make your earthly father proud of you, and strive to make your heavenly father glorified by you. And if you're a wife, strive to honor your husband and to make his needs and the needs of your family the priority of your busy work and of your duties. Because in both of those ways, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28 comes to pass. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Like it says in verse 31, on the other side of our passage, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. And of course, along the way, you'll want to seek, above all else, the praise of Jesus Christ himself. So as you believe in him, ladies, as your faithful Savior, as you serve him, girls, as your conquering king, stand on his promises each and every day and watch him show you that he is faithful and dependable, even in these aspects of your life. Because that aim of giving Jesus glory in all things, that aim of serving him with your life, that doesn't mean that you can't be recognized. It doesn't mean you won't be recognized. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be recognized. Not at all. Just in fact, the opposite. Because a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. In other words, a woman who fears the Lord is to be recognized and celebrated as a woman who's the real deal and by God's grace, the genuine article unto his good and deserved glory. A woman, like it describes here, who fears the Lord and is worthy of being praised. She's someone who has her personal priorities in a well-ordered way. All of her spiritual ducks are lined up in a row. She has good sense and she has good smarts. She's wise. She's respectable. She's trustworthy. She's exemplary. She's prudent. She's patient. She's godly. She fears the Lord, and therefore she is to be praised. But that doesn't mean the woman described here in Proverbs 31 as a whole, or even in verse 30 in particular, it doesn't mean she's perfect. It doesn't mean she's without sin. It doesn't mean she always does everything the right way or she always says everything the right way. It doesn't mean any of that. A Proverbs 31 woman still needs Jesus to be her Savior, just like Sarah did, just like Rahab did, just like Ruth did, just like Hannah did, just like Esther did, just like Mary did. A Proverbs 31 woman needs a Savior like any other woman in the pages of the Bible. So let me wind things down and begin to close out by saying this. A woman who has her life marked by a fear of the Lord, or a girl who has her life marked by a fear of the Lord, here's the phrase I want you to remember. She will be noticeably notable. She will be noticeably notable. And she will be a woman whose life is a display of God's good wisdom. So girls, let me ask this. Do you want to pursue the life of a Proverbs 31 woman? There are so many things that want your time, and there are so many things that will demand your time. But if you invest in the fear of the Lord, that will pay off. You won't regret it. God will add His blessing to it. And girls, if you invest in the fear of the Lord, your future husband and your future family will be all the better for it. They will be glad, and that will give them opportunity to praise you in a good way and to give God praise ultimately. So women, let me ask you a question. Are you pursuing the life of a Proverbs 31 woman? If you're not, then there's no time like the present to get on track and to pursue the example that she is and the sorts of things that God would have for you according to this outline and this sketch that we have. So let me give 2 points to all of the women on how to do that. Take some time at some point and look through verses 10 to 31 here in Proverbs chapter 31 and pick out just a few things that she does that you're able also to do. And then focus in on those things in your own life, either at home with your husband and your children, or in your service in the school or the community or at work or wherever it might be. And secondly, in all of that service that you might see that you too can carry out, be intentional about serving your husband and serving your family in particular. Because ladies, there is fulfillment for you in that calling. And as you depend on Christ along the way, He will guide you, He will uphold you, He will bless you, He will fill you with wisdom, and He will prove to be your faithful Savior each and every day as you trust Him according to the promise of the gospel. May God make it to be so, and may God establish it as so for all of our girls, for all of our women, and thereby for all of our families and for our congregation. Amen. Well, let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for girls who are up and coming in the covenant community. And we thank you for the women and for the wives who are all around us as well. Bless each, we pray, with grace and guidance. And may they be noticeably notable as a display of your wisdom is seen and evident in their lives and in their coming and going. So hear our prayer and bring it to pass as you know is best, in Jesus' name. Amen.